And let us turn in our Bibles to read together the third epistle of John. The third epistle of John, as we continue in our sermon series, looking at the shorter books of the New Testament, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Philemon. And as we look and study God's Word this morning, we turn to 3 John, reading together the whole of the epistle. So let us read together the word of our Almighty God. The elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a good godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not yet seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a good question we might ask ourselves. Would there be enough evidence of my being a Christian to convict me? Would there be enough evidence of my being a Christian to convict me? As we look at this passage of God's Word, Gaius's work in the church was well known. As well, Demetrius. On the other hand, the work of a man who thought himself very important, Diotrephes, is infamous, is horrible. And so, brothers and sisters, as we examine ourselves in the light of God's Word, our desire must be to conform ourselves to that Word, to live according to what God teaches in His Word. And that's the theme that we want to see in our passage this morning. Christian faith is demonstrated by external actions comporting therewith that agree with what we say. It's what James says in James 1 and 2. Christian faith is demonstrated. Certainly, we aren't saved by our works. But we look and we see others around us. Jesus tells us we can be fruit testers. And John here, again, in his third epistle, says the very same thing. He said it in the other two epistles as well. That we are to look. And if a teacher, if someone comes to us and does not do good works, we aren't to listen to him. If what comes out of our faith is not what a Christian does, then you ought not listen to me. Because by how I live and how other teachers live, we can tell. That's what John says again and again. We are to look at someone, and we see, first of all, in Gaius, that he has witness, and we have prayers for true spiritual good in verses 1 through 4. In verses 5 through 8, we see his caring for the furthering of God's church. And in verses 9 through 14, we see examples of care, both bad and good. Examples for us to follow or not to follow. So first of all, we see John, we see the elder, witnessing and praying for true spiritual good, for Gaius. We see greetings, first of all, in the truth of the gospel. Gaius is mentioned a number of times in the Bible, having worked with and for God's church. And he is loved because he loves the truth. Whom I love in the truth, verse 1. We read the same idea in 2 John 1 as John writes, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but all those who have known the truth. It's an interesting thing that we must understand. We looked at it for a moment last week, and we ought to look at it again this morning. If someone else is a Christian, if someone else loves the truth, our purpose also then ought to be to love them. To hold them as brothers or sisters of the faith. And so John greets Gaius, and we ought to greet all true believers in love. This is how John opens his epistle. Notice also then he prays for prosperity in body and soul. Beloved, verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He prays. He desires spiritual and physical health for brother Gaius. Not a division, but a unity. Now, very interestingly, our culture worries about the physical outside. We've got to heal the outside without any concern to our spiritual health. In fact, absolute lack of concern, sadly. As we look at that fact, we have to ask a question. Where does physical health come from? If not from God. Both of them together. People wonder about psychology problems and brain chemistry. It's been demonstrated that each one of our choices changes our brain chemistry. If we make a series and series of bad choices, then it's no surprise to me that our brain chemistry is going to be a little different than someone who makes good choices. Because we have to worry about them. We have to be concerned all the time that our choices aren't going to come back and bite us. And so as Christians, we can have confidence in God. When we know, when we are obedient to God's laws, we do not need to fear and to worry about tomorrow. Jesus says that. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And then all these things that the rest of the world seeks after will follow us. God blesses His people. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise for the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Godliness, Paul says, is more profitable than all the exercise you can do. Yeah, my physical body could use a little more exercise. I ought to get in shape. I ought to get my mind in shape more than my body. I need to fall more fully before the throne of God in obedience to Him. Godliness is profitable for all things, having promise for the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so he greets our brother in Christ, Gaius. And as he greets him, He reminds him of what God has done through him. We see witnesses of Gaius walking in the truth. For I rejoice greatly, verse 3, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in me, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. We see testimony of Gaius walking in the truth. The psalmist writes, Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. That ought to be our desire. As I ask the question, would there be enough evidence to convict me of being a Christian? So we see the witness concerning Gaius. We see the joy of John in his child in the faith. 2 John verse 4 again. I rejoice greatly to have found some of your children walking in truth as we received the commandment from the Father. On the other hand, we ought to be very sorrowful for those who are of the church, of the children of the church who are not walking in the truth. And have perhaps left the church for many reasons. And so we see the greetings. We see the witness and the prayer for true spiritual good. Now we look in verses 5 through 8 and we see that he is caring for the furthering of God's church. We read in verses 5 and 6, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. He is faithfully caring for brethren and for strangers. In little or much, doing it for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said, Matthew 25:35, For I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in. Again, remember, his works. His external life is comporting, is showing what's in his heart. Galatians 6 verse 10, Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We see the witness of Gaius' love for the church. We see those around have seen it, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. His work is not overlooked by God or by other Christians. Remember what Jesus said. When you give alms, do not be like the Pharisees who sound a trumpet before them. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. We don't do it to be seen of men. Jesus says that those who do it to be seen of men have their reward. We are to do it so that others do not know. But his work, Gaius' work, and I believe he wasn't doing it to be seen of other people, was not overlooked by God. Was not even overlooked by other human beings, by other Christians. Philippians 4 verse 18, Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. We looked at this in the Bible study a couple of months ago. We remember that we have all and abound. And so the things that God gives to us and that we, by God's grace, give in thanksgiving to God's church are a sweet-smelling and acceptable sacrifice. Now, I didn't set up this series of sermons. I want to make note of that just because we're talking about a parsonage. That's not what we're talking about here, by the way. But we must understand as we give, whether it be to that. But the purpose here is not talking about no parsonage. It's talking about the help of missionaries and other people whom Gaius had had opportunity to help out. And so I don't want to just focus on that. I don't want you to think that I am. But we must understand the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Using even the offerings that we give to God's church, they are a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. He is caring for the furthering of God's church, and so ought we. As we read in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, this is why we have things like guidelines for giving, for the synod, for the local church, for the classes, to give to those things which are approved, have been studied, and are for the purpose of the extension of God's church. And so, this is what we see Gaius doing. He is sending them forth to do God's work. Verse 6. Whom, if thou bring forward on thy journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Sending them out in a manner worthy of God, John says. Not with just a little care, but he is providing for them their necessities. As we see in the next verse about these Christians who aren't taking anything from the Gentiles, to those whom they are having witness, having evangelism, having mission work to. It says he doesn't take, they don't take anything from the Gentiles. And so this man, Gaius, has helped them out so they don't need to do that. Colossians 1 verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so Gaius is sending out these fellow workers to spread the gospel, to be mission workers. And they are being careful to do God's work without causing burden on the local church. As I said, this is why we have guidelines for missionaries, for other works of God's church. The church has studied that these missions are good and for the glory of God. And so these brothers and sisters and our church as well ought to be very careful not to make it a burden on the local church when we have missionaries, instead to provide for them that God's word would go forth. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 12, if other parts are partakers of this right over you, are not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul is talking about this very thing in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, I have a right to it, but I have not used it. It is because he wants not to be a burden on the local church, but to spread God's word where it is possible and how it is possible. And so, Gaius is sending them out to do God's work. Because of their work, we ought to receive those who do that work. Receiving them, helping them. We have fellowship in their work. We read at the end of verse 7, because that his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers in the truth. Perhaps we can't go to Africa as missionaries, or be a preacher, not that that's a holier calling than being a farmer or anything else, but that's exactly for this reason. Though we're not perhaps called to those exact missions, yet through our giving, missionaries and mission works and other works of God's church, we have fellowship with them in their works for the spreading of the gospel. That's what Paul tells us here. And that is a joyful, that is a glorious thing that God gives to us. Matthew 10, verse 4, he who receives you receives me, Jesus says, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so some have unwittingly entertained angels. You have to understand that part of our calling as Christians is to be involved in the work of God's church to the ends of the earth. And perhaps it's not by going there, and perhaps it would be good for us to spend some time there if it would be possible. But as we live here, or perhaps have those opportunities to visit God's church throughout the world, we can have fellowship with them, even if we can't go, by providing for them, helping them to spread that word throughout God's world. And so as we look then, and we see Gaius working for the furthering of God's church, we see one of the reasons that this letter came to Gaius instead of to the broader church. We read about Diotrephes, verse 9 and following. We see examples of care, bad and good. We read about Diotrephes, verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. First of all, we have the bad example. He apparently blocked John's communication to the church where Gaius was. He places himself in the apostolic place, not receiving the apostle John, denying John's authority for his own. This is grounds, John says, for removal from church office. Wherefore, when I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. We have the charges laid out before us, in fact. Prating against the apostles, the authority of God's church. Empty words is what prating means. Nonsense. And sadly, that's so often used. Maliciously speaking nonsense against the authority of Christ's apostles. And yet, he also does something as well. He does not receive the brethren, putting those out of the church, even those who do receive them. Notice this is a direct contrast to Gaius. We have Gaius who's receiving them, sending them on their way, and we have Diotrephes saying, I'm not even going to listen to your letters. And as we look then at God's word, we see what God says about them. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. We remember what we read last week, and in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He says that twice, as we have said before. So now I say to you, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. My authority is not in me. My authority in preaching God's word is in preaching God's word. And so when I preach God's word, we ought to say yea and amen. And I myself as well. Because we listen not to the words of man, we listen to the words of God. And so when we hear the apostolic witness, witness to you by God's grace through this sinful vessel, we had better listen. Diotrephes wouldn't listen. He thought he was too important. He thought he was too wise. As I said, my authority isn't by me. It is in preaching the very word of God that we have before us on the page here. And so, John tells this church, you've got to get rid of Diotrephes. I will remember when I come, I will remember his deeds. He says this isn't going to be far away. I hope to come to you soon, he says in his farewell at the end of the letter. But we are called then to imitate that which is good. We are called to imitate that which is shown to be good by the witness of God. Beloved, verse 11, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record. And you know that our record is good, is true. Again, we are seen. We are given a test to see what is good and evil. He who does good is of God. He who does not good, he who does evil, has not seen God. Isaiah 1, 16 and 17, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Notice these are all external things. We do them because God has saved us, not externally, but fully. Romans 14, verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. As we said, we don't do these things to save ourselves. We do them because we have been saved. Because God is working salvation in our hearts. It's a past tense thing, as we read in Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. And so Demetrius is a good example for them. Verse 12. Demetrius has a good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear what record. And you know that our record is true. Notice I come as a pastor, not just in my own authority. The church bears record by God's grace. And I am approved of them to preach God's word. And so we have that same sort of witness to those who are pastors within our church. We have the apostolic witness. Demetrius, then, is a good man by God's grace, and hath truth, and the truth of itself bears witness. He has a good report, and he has the apostolic witness as well. He has a good testimony from all. We read in the qualifications for deacons, as they were first elected, Peter states, Acts 6, verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. John's testimony for him as well, the apostolic testimony concerning him, ought to be received. Notice we have the apostolic testimony concerning Diotrephes. He's evil, prating against God's church with empty words. John 19:35, and he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. This is why we have tough exams in the RCUS, and rightfully so. We need to know where this guy is coming from. Whether it be me, whether it be any other pastor. We need to know so that we can make a right testimony about this guy. Is this somebody you should listen to? That's why we have those examples. And so we are to imitate that which is good. And John ends then his epistle, John ends his letter to Gaius, and by way of Gaius, to the church there with greetings. We are to imitate that which is good. We are to see the witness. And so John says to them, I have many things to write, but I will not write with ink and pen unto thee. He says the same thing. He desires personal contact with God's church. He says the same thing in John 12 concerning the lady there. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. But this situation needs to be dealt with faster than he can make it there. This man, Diotrephes, who is causing problems within the church, who's casting out those who listen to the apostles. Pretty nasty things. And so we have the greeting, we have the reminder that these things need to be done, and we have the greetings of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I trust that I shall shortly see thee, verse 14, and we shall speak face to face, peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee, greet the friends by name. brothers and sisters in Christ, greeting the brothers and sisters in Christ where Gaius was in his church, and they greet you and I as well. And as we said, John writes to the elect lady and her children, 2 John 1, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but all those who have known the truth. Brothers and sisters, we have God's Word written not just to some guy who's long dead for a couple thousand years. We have God's Word written so that you and I can know how we are to trust, who we are to trust, and how we are to live. As we look then at Gaius, we see a man who desires and witnesses and prays. We see him further in God's church. We see John praying for his spiritual and physical well-being. And we see that John gives us examples who to stay away from and who to follow. Christian faith, the theme that we see this morning, is demonstrated by our external actions, showing that we truly believe by God's grace. Amen. Let us rise and bow before our Lord in prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious and our merciful God, we do thank You that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so as we consider those who perhaps are teaching that which is contrary to Your Word, we pray return them, and we pray that we might turn a deaf ear to false teaching. But at the same time, we pray, O Lord, that Your church would be upheld and kept to remember the need for those who have the good witness of faith, of good teaching in Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that You would send forth Your Word throughout the world, and that we might have fellowship part in that work of Your church, as we provide for that church, as we give Christian alms. And we pray, O Lord, send forth Your church to the ends of the earth, that the day may come quickly in which Christ shall come to judge the living and the dead. We pray, use us, be glorified in our lives, to use us in the calling that You have given to us. And we pray, O Lord, be glorified and honored as we serve You from day to day, from week to week. We pray now, O Lord, all of this knowing that it is only for Jesus' sake that we are saved and that we can even enter into Your presence. And so, Lord, we come praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.